Hello and welcome to Enough, episode 207. My name is Mike Hurley and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy, Mr. Patrick Roan.
Hello there, sir.
How are you?
Well, I'm suffering from a kind of nasty bugaboo. You got the WWDC flu, eh?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
For those that don't know, like for our listeners that live in their parents' basement and never come out and so never actually have human contact or sunlight, but you probably don't know about diseases and how they work, especially viruses. But when you have a lot of people together in one place and they're doing a lot of, I don't know, hugging and handshaking and they're kind of sweaty, and it's a very good environment to transmit viruses.
I think part of the problem for me is the plane home. That's when I get, I think, the most of my germs.
Yeah. So you don't do anything smart like we Americans do, like airborne tablets or serious, like massive doses of vitamin C and zinc and things like that before you enter an enclosed environment where the air is recirculated?
I
have to. I swear by it. So now, absolutely swear by it.
Now I will.
Yeah.
I will have to do that in the future because clearly it has not done very well for me
this Michael?
Time. Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. I'm sorry. I lost you completely there for a second. Thank you, Skype. But I wanted to talk about WWDC.
Okay.
You good?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So, everyone's weighing in on it, and it's like, you know, oh, iOS 7 is either really great or really terrible, sucked. Yeah, and all this other stuff, and, you know, Maverick and all that such. And while all that's great, and I appreciate the folks that have weighed in on it and given their opinion and such like that, I think some of the unsung stories is actually some of the stuff that's going on under the hood there. Like the stuff that they're doing with, basically, what's it called? App sleep or whatever, where if an app is not in front of you, it basically is sleeping.
App nap.
There you go.
Which is the worst name ever given to such a thing.
Hey, I don't care as long as it works. I mean, because the amount of battery life that's going to save, the amount of increased performance that's going to provide, especially for someone like me who works almost exclusively in full screen mode and single application mode. So I've explained this before. I have this utility no longer available. Been using it since Mac OS 8. It's called Light Switch X, and it still happens to work on Mac OS 10, but basically it hides on switch. Whenever I switch to a new app, it hides all the rest of them as I command tab, and that's the way I like to work, especially because I like to work on smallish screens like an 11-inch MacBook Air. And always have. Before this, it was like a 12-inch PowerBook. I always got the smallest screen I could because I was always one of these guys that hates like clutter of a whole bunch of apps stacked on top of each other and not knowing what window belongs to whatever. I'd rather just see one thing at a time. And so for me, that's going to be huge savings in performance, in battery life, and increase in performance, right?
Because any app
I have front and center gets the full CPU all to itself.
But it seems like it will be for everybody, right? Like,
yeah, you know, yeah, it'll definitely be so for everybody.
Like, regardless of how you use your Mac, like, it seems right. Like that, I mean, no human can have, like, you know, multiple windows all active in the front at the same time, you know?
No, but there are plenty of people, especially if you have a large enough screen for this, that would have, like, you know, a Word document off to one side and a FileMaker Pro database off to another and an iChat window over in the corner. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, would have all of these things, would have three or four going front and center all at once, in which case AppNap doesn't take advantage of that, right? the way I understand it, AppNet works when the app is hidden by another application.
Yeah. It seems and like it, that's the case that, anyway.
That's how they demoed it, at least.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, once again, I don't see, like, to me, there should be as much chatter about that and things like that, the things that they've done to increase the performance and to increase the battery life at the OS level, and little kind of tricks like that, and similar things that they have done in iOS as well. You know, everyone's talking about the interface. Very few people are talking about, basically, they've done similar things with iOS that should actually increase battery life, especially in like older devices, right? So like if you're running an iPhone 4, you install iOS 7, you know, your iPhone 4, you're starting to see your battery life start to go down a little bit. This should save it for a little bit longer. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, in theory, yes.
In theory, right.
But yeah. They're also doing other things that could impact battery life, like the background updating stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but you know, in theory, then you'd hope that those two things counteract each other and you don't see a difference. You know, so that's the balance that you want to get, I think.
So, yeah. And so that's what... It's things like that that I'm surprised I'm not seeing kind of more chatter about and more excitement about. Because for me, that's really exciting. You know, for me, being able to get all-day battery life out of a... You know, what PC manufacturer can compete with that right now?
Yeah, that MacBook Pro is incredible. Like the Verge review,
right? The MacBook Air, you mean?
The MacBook Air. Like that. Yeah. The Verge review came out yesterday, and it's like they got it to do 13 and a half hours web browsing.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, things like that are just insane, right? And so, I guess all I'm trying to get to is. Yes, the interface is in iOS 7 is interesting, and you may have your opinions on it one way or the other, and about the radical changes they've made, and you know the fact that it seems like you know, Johnny Ive finally went to bed with the ghost of Dieter Rams and came out with a Swiss railroad clock as their. As their love child. I think the really kind of exciting things are the things that aren't being said, are the under the hood things that they've done in order to really make significant improvements across the board in performance and battery life for people, regardless of, you know, the machine that you're running and the age of machine and things like that, right? It's just, you know, for someone who believes in trying to hold off before upgrading for as long as you possibly can to really, you know, in the very minimal Mac, what we believe in sort of way, get the most out of any device you choose to have in your life. I look at those things and I think, wow, this is a chance for me to be able to get even more use and value out of something that I already have and own and love, you know, for next to no cost. I don't know. I think there's something to be said there, and that these things often get overlooked for the kind of new and shiny and stuff like that. But, you know, speaking of the interface and changes in iOS 7 and such, what are your thoughts, Michael?
I think that there's some work to be done, as you would naturally expect. But I think that the overall direction and design, I'm actually pretty happy with it.
Yeah. I personally love it. I love the... You know, I make the joke about it looks like was designed by the same guy who designed the Swiss railway clock. But I actually love that design. I mean, you take a look at any of my websites and it's nothing but Helvetica for as far as the eyes can see. You know, and that kind of clean, minimalist look. And you know, so it should come as no surprise to people. I'm as excited as all get out about it. I also find it interesting how many apps this will likely Sherlock, right?
There's a bunch.
There's a ton. There is a ton. You know, I mean, let's not even start with, you know, the iCloud keychain stuff and how that's going to, you know, basically be just enough for people not to buy 1Password.
I spoke to some people in the know, and they're not too concerned.
I understand this. I think that those of us who are power users understand the value there of an app like 1Password, even over what Apple is offering. But I think it's going to be a difficult thing to sell that app to those people who get iOS 7, have the keychain thing, and it just plain works out of the box, and now you have to try to sell them why is 1Password better. You have a harder uphill road to climb there than you do now, right? You know, 1Password has it easier right now simply because this doesn't exist. And you can say to people, oh, wouldn't it be cool if you could do this and it would just work and you'd set it up on all your devices and on your Mac and anywhere you went to, if you had a browser that supported it, you could go in and put in your password and boom, log into any place and you don't have to remember all these different passwords and things like that, right? I mean, it makes perfect sense because there's nothing else that's like it. But when you have something like that that's built right into the OS, now you have to work that much harder to show that value, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Things like, my friends at Agenda, who make the Agenda calendar, and I can't remember the name of the company, sorry. I call them my friends, but I really don't know them all that well. But hey, I like them a lot, and I've exchanged emails a couple of times. So that makes us friends in the internet age, right? You've exchanged an email with someone, and basically you're best buds forever.
I think that's how it works.
Yeah, okay. it's like Snapchat. I'm looking at that calendar, the built-in calendar. I'm thinking to myself, I'd use that all day long. As much as I love Agenda now, for to get that kind of the look and feel and such that I want, that I see in iOS 7's built-in calendar quite well, if that makes sense. I don't know. I think that there's going to be even more compelling reasons to give your stock built-in applications a fair shot over running out and getting the new and the shiny and the third party, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And is it just me, or does the Mac Pro look like the you know, antimatter core in just about every, like, Star Trek style movie? You know, it's always like they're reaching their hand in and twisting this knob and pulling out this canister to eject the core or something like that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That's exactly what it looks like, right?
Yeah.
Like, it looks like that in person.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen it, but...
Oh, you didn't see it?
Well, I didn't have a ticket.
Oh, I suppose. But they didn't have any, like, just out for display? Like, you know, look at how much better we are than everyone else? Ha, ha, ha.
Only in the conference center, which I couldn't get into.
Yeah. Gosh, it looks... That thing's a beast. But it looks like a trash can. But it looks like it's going to run like a beast. I know every nerd just looked at that thing and was like, well, how are we going to put that into a rack?
Well, I want one, but I will never buy one. Well, I can't imagine I would ever buy one, but they look really cool, and I'm sure they work really well. Can you imagine
having one of those on your desk for this little podcast operation you got going?
Things would run really nicely.
I bet. Like, you know, are there any operations that you do with the podcast that you think would be greatly improved speed-wise, power-wise, by by having something like that?
If I put an SSD in this Mac Mini, I would probably get just as much benefit, in all honesty. Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe if I start using different tools, but even then, I think this Mac Mini is more than powerful enough for the audio work that I do. But it does have a hard disk.
Yeah.
So if I put an SSD in here, it'd probably run like a dream.
Yeah.
You know, but it's fine. I mean, it actually doesn't take very long to do anything because it's all I don't have anything on this Mac.
Yeah. You use it just for this, and it's dedicated to it. And
I think it's still running like Snow Leopard.
Really?
Well, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like Voodoo, right? I'm running.
It's not broke. You don't fix it.
I'm running 10.7.4. I don't even update from that. Like, I get system updates, and I'm like, no, I'm not doing them.
Wow, that's very interesting.
It's one of those things. Just don't touch it. You know.
Yeah.
It works, just don't touch it unless you have to.
Yeah, I can see that. That's kind of something I believe in.
So you have a book that you wanted to touch on, but I guess we should talk about Squarespace first.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we could talk about your new book you've been reading. Does that sound fair?
Sounds great.
Take a quick moment to thank Squarespace.com. They give you absolutely everything that you need to make an amazing website. Squarespace is a fully hosted, completely managed environment for creating and maintaining a beautiful website, blog, portfolio, business site, online store. It doesn't matter what you're trying to build or how experienced you are with building websites. You can put something online that is amazing in just minutes. You have to worry about all the niggly things like hosting, scaling, integrating with other services like Twitter, Facebook. You have to worry about support, finding applications, finding themes, finding a designer, because they take care of all of that stuff for you in one package. They have beautiful themes, they're really clean, and they feature responsive web design, so your site's going to look fantastic. Squarespace sites all look amazing. You'd never know that they were themes that came from a service. You'd think that they were all paid for hundreds of millions of dollars to be professionally designed, because they do look that great. They have a drag and drop page building system that makes it really simple to lay out your pages into any custom design that you want. They have very clean code, clean structure. You can even dig in under the hood and tinker around with things if you want to. You know, if you are a person who understands all the CSS and HTML stuff you'd need to build a website, they let you dig in and make some changes if you want to, but you don't have to. If you like statistics, they have real-time analytics that are built right in, 24/7 customer support too, that will help you with any issues that you have. They have apps, they have Squarespace Commerce that allows you to add a fully integrated store into your site. The list is endless. Squarespace give you everything that you need to make an amazing website, and you can go and try them out. Go to squarespace.com, sign up for a free trial, and check out what they've got on offer there. Squarespace plans start at $10 a month, and use the code 70decibels6, that's 70decibels6. At checkout, you'll get 10% off your first order on top of any other discounts you may get for signing up for any of that annual plans. So go check out Squarespace, everything that you need to make an amazing website. Thank you to Squarespace for their continued support of this show.
Yeah, thank you. And by the way, have you seen their amazing website?
The new page.
The new homepage?
Yeah, they've got a really very, very beautiful page. And
holy cow.
The new campaign that they're running, like their new ad campaign, is very, very nice. I've
seen this.
It's very nice. Well, you know, I should check it out. Create your own space.
No, the webpage, if you go to squarespace.com, and the landing page is probably one of the most beautiful landing pages I think I've ever seen. It's just
it's got the video, right? That it's just starts playing in the background.
Yeah. Well, is that a video? I don't even know what it is, but there's people doing stuff back there.
Yeah, and you can scroll across, like you can click the arrows to go through the different. So like they have like create your own canvas, create your own store, create your own story, and it's all different types of creative people and how Squarespace fits all of them. It's a really nice site and idea that they've got going on there.
Yeah, definitely worth checking out. So, I wanted to talk real quick about, well, mainly an idea, but the idea, it was spurred by a book that I'm currently reading called Manage Your Day Today. And it's written by Scott Belsky of of the Behance network. You know, they're like all designery types are all into Behance. I don't know
what those people
do.
Behance make amazing notebooks.
Yes, they also make. They have this whole kind of their own task system. You know, similar to like I have Dash Plus, and you know, there's GTD, and they have their own thing called, I believe, Behance Action yep. system or Action. You know, basically, so they've got these action cards and action notebooks, and you know, it's good stuff. It's all good stuff, and it's built with the design creative in mind. Well, they've come out with this new book called Manage Your Day to Day, Build Your Routine, Find Your Focus, and Sharpen Your Creative Mind. One of the reasons they came out with this book was that, you know, Scott found it in his talks, you know, going around speaking at conferences and things like that, you know, that really it wasn't so much about great ideas. Great ideas are nothing without great execution of ideas, right? It's not so much about the ideas as much as it is about making the ideas happen, right? You know, just having the idea alone is not enough. So they wanted to write this book that includes, input and chapters and sections written by, you know, all sorts of people from, all the usual suspects, Seth Godin and, you know, all sorts of folks. Gretchen Rubin of Happiness Project, Tony Swartz, Cal Newport, Mark McGinnis, Aaron Dolan, just all over to kind of weigh in on how to just manage your day to day as a creative. And the very first one leads off with this idea that I think is really, really important. And that is the idea that so much of the time we start off our day in reaction mode, right? We start off our day and the first thing we do is we check our email. And when we check our task list or we check our voicemail messages that we've received overnight, and we're reacting to things, right? We're reacting to those emails that came in or to those tasks that we have to do or whatever. As opposed to, you know, those of us who do creative work, that is, giving our creativity and our creative work and our own personal goals priority by checking all that other reactionary stuff first, we're setting the time to take action until after that's done. And what ends up happening more days than not is we spend all day reacting and never actually make the time to act and to take action on our own priorities, and they get second place and get pushed to the side. And so one of the things it recommends is carving out some time at the beginning where you don't react to anything. You don't check your email first thing. You don't, you know, what you do is you carve out that first part of your day for taking action on the things that are a priority and making those things a priority. And I think the reason this idea really resonated with me, number one, is because I'm really, really bad at doing that myself. It's something I've long struggled with. It's something I've actually written about before, and the desire to do so, or the desire to try to do so. And I always, it always works great for a few days, and then I go right back to the way that I used to operate. And I think it's partially out of habit. But it's also partially out of the idea that I don't want to let anyone down. That I'd rather let myself down than to let other people down. And I think that's a real problem. I think it's a real problem because. And I've mentioned this before. In order to have selflessness, you first need to have selfishness. As crazy as that sounds, you need to, in order to understand how to, for instance, love anyone else, you must first be able to love yourself. If you don't love yourself, if you hate yourself, there's no way you're going to be able to love, truly love anyone else. Right. And so you know, first love is self-love, and you know that's embodied in just about it's just about every major religion, though it doesn't always come across necessarily that way. For instance, the idea of loving one's neighbor as themselves. Well, in order to love your neighbor, therefore you have to love yourself. Therefore, you have to love yourself first so you can know how to love your neighbor. Because if you hate yourself, then you're not be able to love your neighbor, if that makes sense, right? If the love of neighbor is dependent upon love of self. So in that same way, I think our time and the things that we put as priority in our lives operate the same way. And if we're not giving ourselves priority, if we're not giving ourselves the time to act and create, sure, then there's no way we're going to be able to create that breathing room to assist others with doing the same. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me.
Yeah. So, you know, so I guess the bigger takeaway from that is that we need to be sure that our priorities are aligned. And more than, and it's not just about an idea, it's about making an idea happen. I would say that even before that, before the idea, and before making the idea happen, first of all, the idea has to fit into a purpose or a goal. You know, what is the end result of this idea? What is it that this is driving this idea, right? Because you can't make that idea happen unless it's firmly rooted in a direction that you want to go. And I think that this is the reason why I've long struggled with the doing this, is because, you know, like I said, because I haven't been comfortable with putting myself as a priority. I always put others' priorities, many others' priorities, before mine. I'm going to stop doing that. Basically, is what I'm going to say.
So you're not going to have any friends anymore.
That's pretty much it. But I don't think really people like me that much anyway.
Oh.
But and it's okay. I've learned to live with it.
I have recorded 207 episodes of a weekly and once twice weekly podcast with you. Mm-hmm. If I didn't like you, I would have torn my hair out by now.
Yeah. Well, I'm no longer going to be putting you first, buddy. I'm just saying that. You know, when it comes to getting stuff done, I got to get my stuff done first.
Okay.
Can we still be friends?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. What do you want? What can I do for you?
I want you to put me first. This is wherein I systematically undo Patrick Roan's work. I am your undoing.
Okay. It's all right. You know, part of the reason I put this out here is for the exchange of ideas and debate. You know, I love it when people, you know, send feedback and say, you know, it's not really how it works, or, you know, what about this or that or the other thing? It causes me to think.
No, I find this to be a very interesting topic, because I struggle with this quite a lot, because I'm never happier than when I'm making somebody else happy.
Yeah.
And
no,
there are times, it doesn't happen often, but there are times where that can cause me some form of issue. You know, not necessarily somebody's being mean or ungrateful, but especially, you know, maybe financially as well. You know, I like to give to people where I can, and sometimes I can be like, whoop, see Daisy.
I don't have any money left. Just live too much.
Yeah. So, little things like that. It's, yeah. You know, but, I find it very interesting finding that balance. It's a difficult balance if you want to be a nice person, I guess.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily, this doesn't necessarily need to be that big. We could bring it back down to where the book is, which is basically, you know, don't open up your email first thing in the morning. You know, don't open up your, you know, listen to your voicemails and try to quote unquote catch up on the goings on of the day. You know, take a look, write down one or two things you wanted to accomplish today, and get those things out of the way first. Do that first. You know, what are going to be the things that are going to make you feel like you had a productive day? Because if you're anything like me, what turns out is you wake up in the morning, you sit down, you open up that email, and you never ever get to the two big things that you wanted to accomplish. Does that make sense? Or the three, or whatever that number is, right? You never actually get to your stuff because you've spent so much time reacting throughout the day. And it happens to me all the time. It happened to me just this Friday when, you know, there were a ton of things I wanted to, you know, not a ton of things, but there were one or two things I wanted to accomplish, wanted to say, hey, I got this done today. And it would have made my whole day if I had gotten those two things done. And for some strange reason, everyone's hard drive decided to crash. Which, by the way, this is a reminder, people, back up. Back up right now. Make sure that all your backups are working. If you're already backing up, double check those backups. Because there's something in the air. I had three completely separate clients, all with hard drive failures, like boom, boom, boom. And that rarely happens, and I usually blame like sunspots or static electricity or something. There's got to be some reason that they happen all at once. Check your stuff. In any case, luckily in all three of these cases, there was some backup to be had. Which is because they're my clients, and I really don't stop bugging them until they do. the bottom line is that I never got to my things because I was so busy reacting to everyone else's stuff. When if I had spent even 40 minutes that morning, I would have gotten both of those tasks, big tasks, off my list before those calls even started coming in. And anything that had to wait could have.
Sure.
And, you know, I think if you really want to see, you know, where your priorities are going, take a hard look at the things that you're spending your time on. I mean, really sit down with a log and start noting it down. Start noting down how much time you're spending on Facebook, how much time you're spending on Twitter, how much time you're spending on this, that, and the other thing. You'll very quickly see what things are currently, quote-unquote, a priority in your life. And then you're faced with a hard question. Should these things be a priority? I would argue that most of us, including myself, can't answer that question satisfactorily most days. So, something to examine. But we should probably start wrapping this up, my friend.
I think you should. It was a good episode, though.
Yeah, I agree. And, once again, anyone wants to contact me about any of this stuff, always open to it. Patrick@patrickroan.com is for the email address, and Patrick Roan on just about every social networking service known to man, and Fowl, and Beast, and Michael, iMike.
I'm iMike, iMyke on social networking services. You can keep in touch with me there. I want to thank everybody for listening, tuning in to today's episode of Enough. We'll be back next week, of course, episode 208.
Yeah, gosh. This number is going up fast.
They are. They go up one every week.
One every week. All right.
My name is Mike Hurley, and his name is Patrick Roan.
Yeah.
Until next time, bye-bye.
We'll chat later.
We will. Oh, we will. Cheers.
Cheers.